Hey, church family, if you have a Bible, I want to ask you to grab it, turn to Luke chapter 10. And let me just say that I already feel a little uncomfortable. Why? Because we have welcomed you to this point into our living room, the place where we have gotten clean for guests to show. And right now I have you in my garage. And here's why. We've just finished prayers of praise, prayers of adoration, prayers of worshiping God for who He is and how awesome He is. And when we see how awesome He is, we realize how messed up we actually are. And I mean, this is our lives. All of our lives on some level look like our garage. So just show you a few things that are in my garage. And to fully transparent, I actually have already cleaned my garage in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but stuff just piles up. And so this is the garage. Like, I've got stuff in here that I don't know what to do with. Like, I've found these on the side of the road, and I've thought someday these will be collector's items. One of them's a lot less new than the other one. But and then what do I do with it? Like, it just piles up. This is really cool. You want to know how cool I am? 2004 fantasy football champion. What do I do with it? I can't throw it away, right? So it sticks in my garage. You know, I, during this COVID season, have tried to clean my garage, right? I've tried to work on the mess that is my life. But in the process of that, like, I've realized that God may not want to just clean my garage. And maybe in your life you've tried to do that with your closets and your bedrooms during this season. But could it be that God wants to reset during this time much more than just our garage? Could it be that God wants through this season to let us redeem this time during this really tragic social distancing, physically not getting to be around people, many we know love dying and others losing their jobs? What would it look like for us during this season of shelter in place to really reset our lives, not just our garage, but our lives? If you have your Bible, again, I invited you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at what it might look like for us to reset a rhythm of rest. We've looked at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 says, "Look carefully then, be very intentional, be very careful about how you walk, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." In the Ten Commandments, we're commanded to 6 days work our tails off and one day to Sabbath rest. We talked about establishing a rhythm of rest. And then last week, Leroy did a great job challenging us all to not just establish a rhythm of rest, but to reset our lives' purpose. In Ephesians 5, it goes on to say, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do you know what the will of the Lord is for your life? I think if you want to pursue it, you need to first stop. You need to rest. You stop doing so that you can listen to God and then jump into the purpose that He has for your life. But here's the deal. If you just try to do, and you don't get first the essential relationship right, when you reset in your life, nothing's going to work. So if you're taking notes, we're titling this Resetting Our Essential Relationship. And we're inviting Jesus to speak into us right now and to help us see how He wants to reset our lives. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to Him, up to Him, and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary.'" That word also can be translated as essential. There's one thing that's essential. "Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Pray with me. God, I ask that you'd use this time, that this could be helpful for us as we even spend a day praying and we stop to look at your word. God, I pray that you would reset more than just our garages in this season, that you would reset our lives. So help us see what your word says about the essential relationship. Pray for me that my words would be clear, that it would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. As we're praying today, God, I pray that God, we do. We're asking right now that you'd use this time. You, God, the holy, glorious, majestic God, that you'd speak into our lives through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this story, the story of Mary and Martha, takes place right after the story of the Good Samaritan. Now why is that important? Because the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells this parable, maybe his most famous parable, and it's about serving. It's about doing things. Like if you've found your purpose, right? Work at it with all of your heart. It's working for the Lord. It's serving. It's going in our strategy to meet needs in people's lives so we can build relationships, share Jesus, and teach obedience. Like that's important. We should do that, right? That's what the Christian life should be about. Not if you leave out what is most essential. Watch what he says right after the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke records, "Now as they went on their way," they're going to Jerusalem so Jesus could die for our sin. "Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Martha, one of his close friends, welcomes him in. Seems like she's doing a great thing, right? "And she had a sister called Mary." I'm going to talk about Mary today. "She also had a brother named Lazarus," and Jesus would raise him from the dead later. "Her sister Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." If you highlight, take notes in your Bible, I want to invite you to underline, "She sat at the Lord's feet." As we read Scripture and as you read history, we know that for a Jew who had a rabbi, the appropriate position for a disciple would be to sit at the rabbi's feet. Paul tells a church in Acts chapter 22 that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was his rabbi. And Jesus is discipling right now Mary. Mary is sitting at his feet. She's listening to his teaching. Verse 40, "But Martha was distracted." That word distracted, if you want to underline, highlight, that word distracted literally means to drag away or pull off. She was distracted from who? Jesus. And spending time with Jesus. She was pulled away from Jesus with much serving. Now, serving's a great thing. In fact, serving is a Jesus thing. Jesus uses this word, it's where we get the word deacon, to say the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus himself, as we seek to live and love like Jesus, we want to serve, right? Like Martha. But Martha was distracted from the essential relationship by much serving. "And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" Now, I love the dialogue here. Why? Because in my own life, I've had this dialogue before. In my own life, I've prayed the prayer. Maybe you have. "God, why don't you just wake this person up to serving or send someone to help me?" Has that ever happened? Maybe for you in a relationship in your home, maybe you've prayed the prayer, "God, wake this person up to jump in and to help." Martha's saying, "Jesus, look, she's not serving. Send her to serve." And Jesus is going to respond. But what he's going to say to her is not what she's expecting. Verse 41, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha.'" In this culture, if you repeat a name, it's communicating deep love. This is not a harsh tone Jesus is using. He loves Martha, and he wants her to see what's essential. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." You are anxious and troubled about many things. Your translation might say, you're worried and upset about many things. Are you there? I want to ask you, are you in the position of being worried and upset? Are you anxious right now? Or are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Martha is worried and upset about many things. Now, these things are serving things. These things are doing good things. But she's focused on the doing of the good things. And I think sometimes when we're anxious, it reveals our idols, the things we put in the place of Jesus, the things we let us pull us away from Jesus. Maybe you're anxious about your family. You're anxious about your job. You're anxious about your parents' health. And maybe those things are things that you put in the place of Jesus, and you let those things pull you away from Jesus. And she's anxious and she is troubled about many things. If you're taking notes, resetting our essential relationship. First point I want you to see out of two. This is a short talk. First point. Service is stressful apart from constant communion with Christ. I'll say it again. Service is stressful apart from constant communion with Christ. Martha's there. Are you? The story doesn't end. There's help here. There's hope here for people like maybe me and you, who recognize, if you look at my spiritual life, it's like my garage. It's many things that stress me out. Keep going. Verse 42. But one thing. Now, this one thing establishes a priority, a position of importance. But one thing is necessary. Your translation might use the word needed or important, or maybe even several of our common English translations use the word essential. There's a lot of talk right now in culture about what's essential and what is not. Whose jobs are essential? What trip to the store is essential? What visit is essential? I want you to hear the words of Jesus right now as he speaks into resetting the most important relationship. He says, one thing is essential. There's one thing that's essential. Now, is this really true? Yeah, the gospel, and if no other time during this COVID season, could it be that the gospel would be seen for what it really is? That Jesus, when he says there's really one thing that's necessary, that we even as Christians could believe that. That it's not what I do that earns my favor with God. It's my relationship with Jesus. That's the one thing that's essential. And could it be that the radicalness of the gospel could sink into our lives during this season of reset, and that we would focus on the most important thing? My mom, when I was growing up, would sing these words over me. The song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I want to read you just a few of the lyrics. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. The only essential thing. Are you there? Are you there? Mary was. And she says, but one thing is necessary. Keep going. Mary has chosen the good portion. I want to talk about application now for this short talk in this season of prayer. That Martha is told by Jesus, and people, if you're like me and you need right now in your life to reset this most important priority relationship, hear that you can today choose what Mary chose. He says, Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, what was Mary choosing to do? Well, in this text, Mary was choosing to sit at his feet and to listen. We read in verse 39, and listen to his teaching. Do you know that you can do that today? That I can do that today? That I can choose to sit at his feet and listen to his teaching. I'm going to keep going here in a second, not just go through the motions of that, but to truly do that. And I think it's not coincidental that what's immediately following the story of Mary and Martha is Jesus' disciples watching Jesus pray and then ask Jesus to teach them to pray. Why? Because they want that essential relationship like Jesus had to be demonstrated in their own lives. They were longing for that. And that's what we read in chapter 11. You can read verse 1 through 4 later, that the Lord's Prayer shows up right after. You want an essential relationship. I'm going to use words that we used a few weeks ago when we were talking about faith over fear. We need to listen to what Jesus says, and we need to talk with God. But here's the deal, not just going through the motions. Not just checking something off the list. I think there are a lot of Marthas that have quiet times. There are a lot of Marthas that do it as a service project, thinking they're going to do something for Jesus, not spend time with Jesus. And if you want to do this right, we have to do it like Mary and not go through the motions to check off something on a service list, but to truly pursue a relationship with the one who loves you so much. To listen to what Jesus says and talk with God. I want to invite you and remind you, if you're not doing this, you hear about it all the time, because we believe that the goal of the Christian life is not just to come to church and listen to a talk or to sing a few songs, but to spend time with the most essential relationship. So we have a Bible reading plan with some directions on how you can journal and pursue your relationship with Christ. So I want to invite you to look at that. You can go to firstmckinney.com/Bible. Why? Because this is essential. This is essential. I showed you under Martha that service is stressful apart from a constant communion with Christ. Second point I want you to see is being with Jesus must fuel our doing for Jesus. Now, the Bible commands us to serve. Jesus himself served. Is serving wrong? No, serving is not wrong. But apart from the essential relationship, it will drain you. We as believers are people who lose focus on what's most important. We need being with Jesus must fuel our doing for Jesus. So I want to show you something else real quick here in my garage. If you notice back here on my shelf, I've got two RC cars. These are actually both from high school in my life. This RC car still works. This RC car does not. You know why? The essential power source is no longer working on this RC car. The battery connection no longer works. This one does. This car really can't do anything. The essential ingredient, the propellant, is not connected. Like, I want you to hear from Jesus, right? The one thing that's necessary is what Mary has chosen. Being with Jesus must fuel our doing for Jesus. If you're trying right now to make life go, trying to serve apart from exercising your personal relationship with Christ, it's not going to work. So hear this again. From Martha, we took the point, service is stressful apart from constant communion with Christ. From Mary, we see being with Jesus must fuel our doing for Jesus. It's important. It's important, and more than important, it's essential. As we reset our lives, don't wait until after COVID is over. Let this season be the reset time for you to redeem this moment. Martin Luther said these words famously, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done." Does your life right now look like a messed up garage? Hey, you jumping in and just trying to fix it all apart from a relationship with Jesus, it's not going to work. It's going to lead to stress, anxiety, trouble. Being with Jesus must fuel our doing for Jesus. As we close, I want to point your attention one more time back to verse 42. Mary has chosen. You can choose it. If you're a Martha, choose. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. This good portion here is the word that literally means a tract of land, a piece of property. And what Jesus is doing is he's pointing attention back to the Old Testament. And what happens in the Old Testament is the people of Israel, delivered out of slavery, like so many of you have from your sin, delivered out of slavery, they're led into this time of crisis in the desert, right? In Mount Sinai, God gives all these commands to them, one of them being to establish a rhythm of rest, and then gives them this great purpose as a nation. They go into the promised land, and he divides up the property to all the 12 tribes except for one. One tribe doesn't get physical property. They get something else. They get spiritual property. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 18, verse 7. The Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their heritage. He says, you are going to get not physical land. You're going to get spiritual land. Your relationship with God is going to be your portion. The psalm writer talks about it multiple times. Here's two of the places. The Lord is my chosen portion, my chosen property, and my cup. You hold my lot. Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are seeing right now in our culture that everything can really be taken away. That graduation can be taken away for our students. School, class can be taken away. Retirement accounts can be taken away. Even our jobs can be taken away. Even our lives can be taken away. Our loved ones can be taken away. But there's one thing that cannot be taken away, and that's this essential relationship with Jesus. God, I pray that we would choose that portion, that we'd reset our lives, that we'd rearrange things, not to check a quiet time off a to-do list, but to spend time at the feet of Jesus, listening to what you say and talking to God. So as we go through the rest of this service, God, let this not just be an exercise. As we worship you, as we pray right now, we acknowledge that you're a glorious God and that we're a messed up garage ultimately. And we're going to confess that sin to you right now, but we're not going to go through the motions. We're going to make this real. We're going to exercise the most essential relationship through your power. In Jesus' name.